Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Yeah, Friday. What's up? Welcome in May 19th, 2023. Grant and Danny with you on the fan on a beautiful afternoon in and around D.C., about 75 degrees in the nation's capital. Can't do a whole lot better than this. What's up, Danny?
Hey, dude. What a beautiful, beautiful spring day. Great way to close out the week with my pal Grant Harrison Paulson, who's a little bit older, a little bit wiser. I mean, a little bit longer in the tooth, but still that same pep in your step.
Which game did you decide that you wanted to play at 3:30 today so that folks can win tickets to the LIV Golf Tournament when it comes to D.C.?
Harris, I will be sending you a list of songs. We're going to play the highly acclaimed, always in demand, Does Grant Know the Band?
3:30. You want tickets to the LIV Golf Tourney? You better be listening right here on G&D. And we do have one more pair of tickets to go see Bert Kreischer when he comes to town with his comedy show at 4 o'clock. So we'll be busy today here on The Fan. Lots to get into. Why don't we begin a look back at last night really quickly? Do you know there was a hockey game? NHL playoffs. I know a lot of you guys have turned the page from puck because the cap season seemingly ended months ago at this point. An NHL game last night went into the fourth overtime and, in fact, was 12 seconds away from overtime number 5 being needed.
Whoa.
Started in the 7 o'clock hour local, ended about 2 a.m.
That's very Easter epic Caps Islanders 87 type stuff there.
Can you imagine how exhausting that must be as a player?
No.
The highlight of the game-winning goal from Matthew Tkachuk of the Florida Panthers, everyone's just kind of in slow motion. Like, nobody has anything left.
Yeah.
Guys are just like, whatever, man.
It's like a rec game.
If you're going to score, then just do it now.
Just do it.
12 seconds left in the fourth overtime. Panthers 3-2 win. Game one over the Hurricanes in the Eastern Conference Final. So that's the toughest part for these teams. This is the first of the potential 7 that they might play. Frederik Andersen made 57 saves and lost for Carolina. That's a tough way to go to bed.
Very tough.
The celebration after Tkachuk's game winner was great. He scores a game-winning goal to 6th of the playoffs. He immediately just starts pointing at the exit, and he skates immediately off the ice, and his teammates follow him into the locker room. Basically, like, let's go lay down.
I'm so tired. Let's go to bed.
There's no dog pile. There's no let's all jump money. There's let's go to the locker room. Let's all lay down in front of our stalls. Unbelievable. Two teams playing 60 regulation minutes.
That's too many.
And then another 79 minutes and 47 seconds.
Two games and change.
It was the 6th longest playoff game in history. The longest two games went into the 6th overtime. And then there have been 3 games that went 5 overtimes. Last night almost did. Sergei Bobrovsky in a win gets a 63-save masterpiece added to his resume.
That's crazy. Those numbers are insane.
Nuts.
How many shots in the game? Do you have the box score in front of you?
I'm going to
start quizzing you about it. How many shots did Tkachuk have? No, but I wonder, like, how many times did someone just go, I'm going to flick this thing towards the net and hope, right, at this point, right? End of a shift, you hope to ricochet off nine skates, play Plinko a little bit, maybe have one go in?
I've already spent too much time on the game, but I just want you to know there was a goal scored a couple of minutes into the first overtime, I think it was, and the goal was taken off the board for goalie interference, mm-hmm. and it wasn't goalie interference, in my opinion.
Oh, it's the best.
And it was just one of those hockey things.
Every
where
sport has to have a what's a catch.
Exactly.
That's the NHL.
But I promise you, if the Capitals had scored that goal, 1,000% it would have been taken off like it was. And if the Caps were on the other end, mm-hmm. it's just the game's over at that point. The Penguins win or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, Sidney Crosby, he took both his gloves off and his pants, and he whacked the goalie there. It's a great play. It's goalie interference. No, it's not, because he's a Penguin. Enzo.
I hate goalie interference.
Yeah,
I just do.
They can't figure it out.
The NFL has the catch. The NHL has this. NBA playoffs, I would say it was Joker season last night, but really it was the Jamal Murray show. He had, I think, 12 points going into the fourth quarter, finished with 35. A 20-point final frame for Jamal Murray. Denver leads L.A. 2-0. Lakers in trouble. Nuggets look like they're in good shape. But now L.A. gets to go play a couple home games. Mm-hmm. So until someone loses on their home court, you know, we're just kind of hold and serve here. But I like what I'm seeing from the Nuggets.
Fourth time in Murray's career he's done that, by the way. A 20-point fourth quarter, I think, is the most ever.
Got to be one of the most underrated players in sports.
He's got that Jimmy Butler switch. He turns it on. So for three quarters, the game actually went the way I sort of thought it was going to go. I didn't expect Denver to be able to shoot the lights out like that. I actually thought L.A. played pretty good defense in game one. But guys are hitting step back, sidestep, you know, the falling out of bounds, three-pointers. They were lights out. They were struggling to score. Jamal Murray was off. They played good defense, I thought, on Jokic. Anthony Davis was good in that regard. Guys weren't really hitting shots. And then superstars did superstar stuff there in the fourth quarter. It was about individuals. It wasn't about scheme or design or, you know, Malone drawing something up. Just excellence. You just kind of go tip your cap to Denver, especially Jamal Murray, who, as you said, was just splendid in the fourth quarter.
They've got a narrative they're going to push now, it seems like, for motivation. Because a couple of the players, mm-hmm. and when we heard from their head coach after the game, all talking about how we were up 1-0 and the story was just the Lakers. No one's talking about us.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cares that we won the game. It's, well, the Lakers lost, and can the Lakers bounce back? And that's true. And I'm sorry about it, Denver. It's just a media market thing. But this is what's going to happen nationally when you play a team like the Yankees or the Lakers or the Cowboys in the playoffs. It's not going to be about you, but they seem to be using that as fuel and motivation. This was post-game last night.
To be honest, that was a national narrative was, hey, the Lakers are fine. They're down 1-0, but they figured something out. No one talked about Nikola just had a historic performance. He's got 13 triple-doubles now, third all-time. What he's doing is just incredible, but the narrative wasn't about the Nuggets. The narrative wasn't about Nikola. The narrative is about the Lakers and their adjustments. So, you know, you put that in your pipe, you smoke it, and you come back, and you know what? We're going to go up 2-0.
Do you think that narrative changes tonight?
Well, I don't care if it does. You know what I mean? Because we know our narrative in that locker room. We know that we're not done. We haven't done anything yet. All right? You got to win a game on the other team's home court if you really want to do something in a series. And we know how great that team is, especially on their home court. So we're not celebrating. You know, this is not cause for celebration. This is a cause to continue to dig deep and find ways to be better.
Michael Malone, head coach of Denver. I thought early in that answer, and I watching it live last night, I was thinking, man, these guys are getting too cocky here. They're talking too much. When he's saying, no one's talking about us. Everyone wants to talk about the Lakers. Well, put that in your pipe and smoke it. But he came to a good place at the end where he circled back. I think he realized,
hey, that team's pretty good too.
I probably shouldn't talk too much when it's 2-0. And he kind of circled back to a place of, we haven't won anything yet.
Yeah,
we're going to keep using this as gas in the car, and we'll guzzle it down, and we're going to keep driving.
They got the greatest player of this generation, a guy that could take over games at both ends, role players that seem to be very comfortable at home that can get buckets on their own right, and Reeves and Hachimura, plus D'Angelo Russell. I should probably back off my put that in your pipe and smoke it type stuff. So I actually thought that was a good comment there.
Last night was a great night for LeBron detractors. Was it not?
Yeah.
I mean, he loses the ball on a layup all by himself going in, trying to do an awesome dunk. He misses a layup late in the game, just point blank. He flopped like a fish, which he always does because he's a jackass. When he gets any kind of contact, he has to act like he got shot and is possibly going to die. I think he survived. We'll have to check on that to make sure he's still okay today. Second best player of my lifetime.
Yep.
He's incredible. Also, yesterday at lunch, Ryan said, I just don't understand, man. Why don't you like LeBron? And I was like, I don't watch soccer because of the flopping. If someone grazes his face, he'll end up in the second row. I said that jokingly as I ate a buffalo sandwich. He ended up in the second row last night, like, toweling off with popcorn. Last night was a good night if you like seeing LeBron come up small. As he turned the ball over, by the way, in a close game in the waning seconds for the second straight game in this series.
He's 0 for 10 from three-point range in these two games.
Do you think that's because of the altitude?
No. I think here's what I think, legitimately. I think he's tired.
And sure he is. He's almost 40.
Well, yeah, I mean, there is that, but I don't say it flippantly. He's doing a lot. He's basically their primary playmaker, which makes sense, by the way, because I'd want the second best player of my life handling the basketball an awful lot too and initiating the offense. He's going to the hole a ton. He's got a ton of responsibility defensively. So he's stat stuffing, but the threes are kind of rattling out. You could see that with free throws as well. He's missed a couple in those spots. I think in the playoffs, he's not shooting particularly well from three. I think he's now more like distributor at this point because they need Davis and they're getting buckets from guys like Reeves and Hachimura, who's been splendid, by the way, which is fine as a Wizards fan. It's fun to see someone else do well, even though it's not here. But I think that's a huge factor here. And yeah, it is always nice to see him come up small.
The conversation or debate or whatever you want to call it is like over with LeBron James, right? I mean, in other words, it's not like after a game like last night, you get excited or claim victory or anything. The fact is, we're talking about one of the greatest athletes in the history of the world.
Yes.
His accomplishments are unfathomably impressive. And other than Jordan, probably, and there's a debate to be had even there, I guess, for some people, not for me.
Incorrect people.
You can say he's the greatest player who's ever lived. So last night is just game number 8 million or whatever. But I just, when he goes up for that layup and he loses the ball off his knee, just a little bit of me gets excited.
That's very all. Fun. Take my talents to the fifth row where I need it. I mean, he's averaging 24, 10.5, and 9.5 for the series. It's not like he's a bum.
Pretty awesome.
You know? I mean, he's what he does is incredible. But it's, you know, it's just different.
By the way, this happens. It happens for young superstars. Like Jason Tatum shrunk like a ladybug. What's the smallest bug you can think of?
Like I don't know. Tick.
I don't know.
Flea.
He traveled two times in the final three possessions of Celtics Heat in game one. Like, that kind of stuff happens, man.
But also,
he was coming off 50 in the last game.
He was an assassin in the last couple of games against the 76ers, right? When it was tied the fourth quarter, he hit two ridiculous step back shots in front of, you know, 2 7-footers. Unbelievable. So, like, yeah, bad stuff happens sometimes to all the stars.
It's a hard game.
Yes.
We can look ahead to the Heat and the Celtics, Miami. Is just outworking everybody at this point. Jimmy Butler leading the playoffs in deflected passes, loose balls recovered. They do the pain in the butt stuff, man. They lead the playoffs and loose balls recovered as a team, charges drawn, all those types of things as they get ready for game two tonight, 8:30 East tip in Boston against the Celtics. You know what slipped past us yesterday, and we didn't mention it, probably just because it was a short show post-Nats. The Commanders have announced that they are going to have joint practices. Finally, you and I have been begging for this and calling for this for years. They are going to get together. I think it's August 15th and 16th.
Sounds right.
Middle of August at Owings Mills at the Ravens training facility for joint practices ahead of a preseason game. This will be the first time they've had joint practices since Jay Gruden's era, I believe. But this, to me, is what every team should be doing. It's just such a no-brainer.
So correct. Good for them. I'm not criticizing them for not doing it previously. They should have been. This is the new wave. This is where you get your best work in. It's not preseason games anymore. This is a controlled sort of environment where you get reps against guys that don't know what's coming. You get all of the aggression out. So you're not fighting amongst yourselves and position groups and this and that. You coordinate. You figure out what you want to work on. You get all your two-minute drill stuff in. People are not taking preseason games anywhere near as seriously as they used to. That trend is I don't want to say it's even a trend. That train has left the station. Guys are playing less and less than they ever have. This is where your best work comes. Other teams have figured this out. Washington for years was stuck because they couldn't do a home and home with Richmond because their deal with Richmond basically said, you got to have them all here. You can't go somewhere else. So they couldn't pack up and leave so that nobody would exchange joint practices with them.
I'm just going to pick a team, but why am I, as the Cleveland Browns, going to leave my facility to come to your place to train with you this year if you can't come back to my place next year.
And you're never coming back. I'm not doing that. So they were left behind on this trend. This is so correct. I love it.
Yeah, I think that Sam Howell will benefit immensely from this. Not only because Baltimore's defense is always pretty exotic and dynamic with some of their blitz schemes and packages and some of the things that they do, but I think it's a really good opportunity for Sam Howell's development as a young quarterback because of something you said. Like, you don't know what's coming. In training camp, after weeks and weeks of practicing against the same defense, by the final practices, or even early on, frankly, with the amount of work they put in, but within several days, you kind of know tendencies of different players to jump routes and what they're thinking and how they're operating. You see the same looks over and over and over again. And so you can kind of be comfortable and dictate terms just by guessing a little bit. And it's not just the quarterback position. You think about like Emmanuel Forbes, your rookie corner. He's going up against the same three or four receivers all the time. He knows the ins and the outs, literally, figuratively, of all of their routes and everything they're going to do. All of a sudden, he starts jumping some things because he's seen it a ton. You see him making a bunch of plays in training camp, and you go, he's ready. This is amazing. And then all of a sudden, you play in a game where he doesn't know what's coming. He hasn't seen these receivers, and it's an entirely different world. So I just think that that experience for the development of these young guys is huge, number one. But maybe more importantly, I think, in terms of a test to see where they are late in training camp, in the middle of August, and that's during the preseason, about 3 weeks or so before you're opening the regular season. That's just huge. I'm so excited about it.
Here, here.
And kudos that they got it done. Like, this was a necessity. This was one of my biggest priorities for this late off season, and they pulled it off.
I think that's well said. This is not a, hey, this is nice. This has now become industry standard.
If you don't do it, you're behind.
That's the way to put it. That's the succinct way to put it.
There was probably a time where the people that did it, the teams that did it, were, getting extra credit, and it was like, oh, that.
Hey, this is pretty smart. Look at this.
And now it's become so in vogue. And plus, here's why it's become so important and a necessity. Practices are more lax, and they're just uninvolved and not physical. And it's easy for me to say. I mean, I would die going through one training
camp
practice.
We're not NFL players. I think it's okay to say about
us. But if you compare, even forget like 20 years ago, 3, 5, 7 seasons ago to right now, you can't do anything. You can't hit. Yep. You can't have two-a-days. You can't be on the field for X amount of time. There's just only so much you're doing. So in these practices, you just don't get the work in. And in a preseason game, you're not able to dictate, hey, we want to run some goal line stuff. You might get some goal line plays in a game, but you might not. Maybe you score from 25 yards away. You don't get back in the red zone. So in a practice, you tell John Harbaugh, if you're Ron Rivera beforehand, we want to do a period at the goal line. Perfect. So do we. We want to do a period of short yardage, 4th and a foot. Okay, so do we. We want to do a period where we go 2 minutes without timeouts and the clock stops working. Great, we'll do that too. Like stuff
All
that you
stuff.
Control that you just can't dictate in a game.
And to me, it's the hallmark of teams that are well coached is they're prepared for. And I'm going to sound so cliche. You might want to take your headphones off and plug your ears, because this is the thing that like people will oversay. Good, well-coached teams are ready for situational football. Bill Belichick's teams have drilled the, you've got 30 seconds left and no timeouts and the ball at the 20, what are you going to do? Both offense and defense. Teams that have prepared for every contingency, they're ready for all the situations. And I feel like that has always been lacking with coaches here, really since Gibbs. Maybe Shanahan, too, to a degree. He always seemed to kind of have the wherewithal to understand what was coming and what was happening. But it just seems to, I'm not really sure what to do. Indecisiveness is unacceptable. There's a minimum standard, and I feel like it benefits the coaches, benefits the players, too, to have the wherewithal to be able to drill those situations that probably don't come up in a preseason game where everybody's just looking up at the clock waiting for it to expire.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. Old friend Alex Smith, the former Washington football team quarterback. He was not a Commander. I believe he was also a Redskin for one season under Jay Gruden. Alex Smith says that defensive-minded coaches are not ideal for developing young quarterbacks. That's the situation we have here in Washington. I think what he said is actually probably correct, but also really interesting. We're going to play that audio for you next right here on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wanted to shout out a pretty cool idea. The Bowie Bay Sox hosted a Commanders ownership change celebration yesterday at their game. Did you see some of the details of this?
I did, but remind me.
Double-A affiliate, Baltimore Orioles. You know, minor league baseball, you're always trying to draw fans with something creative or unique. They had a 6:35 first pitch last night against the Altoona Curve. It was the Double-A affiliate in the Pittsburgh Pirates system. Longtime fans of Washington franchise are celebrating the news of a sale of the team, Bay Sox GM Brian Shallcross said. And we just want to provide a lighthearted opportunity for Commanders fans to come out and enjoy a fun night at the ballpark as we commemorate this moment of transition. So what they did was all fans wearing burgundy and gold team-issued, you know, gear, anything with the team on it, received $10 off of their box seats and some other stuff at the ballpark. Additionally, this was the funny part, fans named Josh or Harris, first or last name, or anybody wearing a Magic Johnson jersey, received free general admission tickets
to
the
game.
That's great. One Josh, one Harris, and one Magic jersey wearer got to throw out the first pitch last night.
That's good.
It's a pretty good deal.
That's good.
Smart. Our buddy Adam Pohl, who works with us here at the station, who works over at Bowie, I think came up with some of that, best I could tell. But yeah, pretty exciting times around here, and I thought that was a really creative way for a local minor
Very
league
much
affiliate
so.
To celebrate the day.
Very much so. Really good. Good job by them.
Alex Smith talking about developing young quarterbacks. Now remember, Smith was drafted number one overall. He has played for Jim Harbaugh, a former quarterback who got a lot out of him. He has played for Mike Singletary, a former linebacker on the 85 Bears, a la Ron Rivera, who did not get a whole lot out of him. He's played for Andy Reid. Mm-hmm. He's played for Jay Gruden. He's been all over the joint. Smith was talking about the rookie quarterback class and the difference in situation between Bryce Young, who's going to be learning from Frank Reich, and C.J. Stroud, who went one pick after him, who is playing for a former linebacker, D'Amico Ryans, and a first-time offensive coordinator, Bobby Slowick, and just how big of a difference that is in developing a quarterback. Listen to what Alex Smith had to say. This was via SiriusXM NFL.
There is a different mentality for my career. When you play for an offensive head coach that wants to light up the scoreboard and outscore the opponent, there's a different mentality you have, especially as a young quarterback, versus a defensive head coach when really the mentality is, hey, don't screw up. Don't turn the ball over. Don't put us in a bad situation. And I can't tell you as a young QB playing in the bright lights how much that's a huge difference in a mentality and a mindset for a young quarterback, especially if it's a bit rocky to start.
Don't turn it over. Mm-hmm. Just manage the game. Go out there and essentially don't beat us. It's interesting, right? Because Smith became the master of whatever that is for the most part.
I know.
The game manager, so to speak. But his point is, when you're developing as a young guy, it's hard to develop that way. It's increasingly more difficult to be good and to make the leap and to get to a point as an NFL quarterback where you're a trusted franchise passer if you are going out there. And I love the idea of saying mindset, right?
Yep.
Mentality he talked about. How do you view your role? How do you view the game? Sam Howell, do you go into the game saying, let's make plays, let's be explosive, let's push the ball down the field, let's get receivers
involved?
Don't
worry about mistakes, man.
Absolutely. Let's go
fast and free.
Or is it a, hey, man, I don't care if you throw for 165 yards. Let's not throw any picks. Let's not force anything. Because that's a lot more punting. That's a lot more we're running the ball.
Mm-hmm.
We're taking what's given. And I agree with him totally that idea of your mentality and kind of what's drilled into you affects how you play as a young quarterback.
100%. This goes to my philosophy. Once a quarterback is drafted, everything must be done to try to make that person successful. At no time can you do what the Patriots did last year, for example, and not have an offensive coordinator and have bad receivers. At no time can you do what Washington was doing with Dwayne Haskins, I guess it would have been his second year, to have a below-average receiving core and a neophyte offensive coordinator with a defensive-minded head coach. I'm not saying it would have worked out. I'm saying you can't do that. Everything has to be everything. When that guy is selected by your team, you basically have to go for 3 years where your only project is to make that guy good. And if it doesn't work, you start again. You try anew. Once that's solved, now you worry about the rest of the crap. So even if it means you've got to take your lumps at times, whatever's best for his development, some guys need to be thrown in the deep end. Other guys need time to be nurtured because there have been a bunch of dudes that have started off kind of that Russell Wilson track, right, where you hand it off a million times, you play good defense. Slowly but surely, more is planted on your plate, and you can have pretty prolific passing numbers. Ben Roethlisberger went that way. I mentioned Wilson. A number of guys have had success. There's no one way to do it in terms of their development. But you need an offensive mind and a wonderful, calm nest, nurtures, that builds that guy up as the priority. It can't be an afterthought. It can't be our philosophies. We're going to hand it off to Antonio Gibson and then Brian Robinson for 3.5 yards per carry if you want that guy to be great.
The second clip we're going to play here is really what I love that he said, because it speaks to something I bring up on this show a lot. I know it sounds silly, but I am team, you're not my head coach unless you're calling offensive plays. And whether you call them or you don't, maybe said better and said differently, you can't be my head coach if you're not an offensive-minded guy who coaches the quarterback position. I am hiring Sean McVay and Matt LaFleur and Kyle Shanahan, to use some DC examples. Now, Josh McDaniels is an example. Like, offensive-minded, been in quarterback rooms, play callers for years, OCs. That's, to me, what you're looking for in a head coach. With all due respect to Ron Rivera, who's a leader of men and defensive-minded, there's some successful versions of him. Pete Carroll's a really good example right now. I think he's a great coach, and they have a great program and a really good culture in Seattle. It can work. Bill Belichick's considered the greatest coach of all time. Defensive-minded guy. Has not been in quarterback rooms calling plays on offense, obviously. He's a savant. But if we're talking about developing a quarterback, building a young passer up, there is unequivocally something to be said for pairing that quarterback with an offensive-minded guy. See Shane Steichen, who the Colts just brought in before drafting Anthony Richardson. See Frank Reich, who the Panthers bring in, and then they pair with him Bryce Young. I like that for those guys more than I like the situation in Houston. And I'm a D'Amico Ryans mark. I loved his presser. I'm rooting for him. He was one of my favorite players at one point in time. He's an awesome dude. Maybe he'll be a Rivera leader of men type. But would I rather, if I'm C.J. Stroud, be working side by side every day with a head coach who used to call plays as an OC than a linebacker? Yes. Your coordinator here is Bobby Slowick, who's never done it before. And Smith just talked about what it means to be around someone who sees the game like you as a young QB.
There's a reason why coaches that come from the quarterback room are so sought after as head coaches and coordinators, right? It is a small pool of people that have sat in that pocket and played, or sat in that QB room, or been an offensive coordinator and done passing game and called plays. Like, that entire line that goes straight to a head coach, that's not a big pool of people. And yeah, Robert Saleh, you're a great defensive mind and coordinator, but like, you have no idea how to develop a quarterback. The coordinator you hired had never called plays. Like, so that's a completely different animal. And as much as you think you're prepared to handle that development of a young kid, like, you're just not.
He wasn't randomly taking a shot at Saleh. He was referencing like Zach Wilson
right
earlier in the conversation and how it went sideways for him. And his point was, and I don't think he thinks it's 100% this, but he went to an organization where they've got this defensive coordinator, up-and-coming defensive star in Saleh, who's the head coach, and they bring in Mike LaFleur to be the OC, who had never been a coordinator, never called plays. And his point is, that's about as bad a situation as you can have as a young quarterback, right? Look at Houston doing the same thing with Ryans and Slowick.
So the thing where I would part company with Smith, it's tougher to nail this down, but I would say you can have leader of men, great enthusiastic defensive-minded head coach. You can have Robert Saleh, and I want D'Amico Ryans to get the gig. What you can't do is then have neophyte offensive coordinator. You have to be aware of your own weaknesses as a head coach, right? I mean, again, not to just compare everything to what worked here, but Joe Gibbs basically told Richie Pettibone, I'll see you Sunday. I got this group, you got that group. That's your pool over there. You're in charge of the defense. I'll see you Sunday. Have a great week. You have to understand what you don't understand. If I'm D'Amico Ryans, I am not doing neophyte offensive coordinator with my prized possession that is my first-round drafted quarterback. Never. Wrong. Incorrect. Same thing that the Jets did. You can have a defensive-minded head coach, but you have to know what you don't know. You have to understand that I'm not tasked with developing a quarterback. I know how to make defenses really good. And by the way, the Jets' defense was good last year. Gave up the third fewest points in the NFL. Duh. Right? Because you have a defensive-minded head coach. You need the best offensive coordinator money can buy. The problem is you're going to lose that guy if your offense is successful after a year or probably two, and you have to kind of keep replenishing. So it's a tougher row to hold. But for me, you simply can't do what Washington has done, what the Jets have done, and then now what Houston is doing. I would never do that.
Even the really good coaches like Belichick or Mike Vrabel, who are not offensive-minded guys, I think they have a harder time developing young QBs. See Mac Jones. See Tennessee's situation, where they drafted Malik Willis, and after 1 year moving on from him, and we'll see if they made the right decision this year going back to the well in the draft with Will Levis. But let's open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines and get your thoughts on this at 800-636-1067. I think Alex Smith has a point, and it does give me pause about getting the most out of Sam Howell, that he is in an organization that is run by defensive-minded Ron Rivera and is frankly conservative by nature. Maybe the Bieniemy hiring helps to cancel some of that out, something we can get into. But let's just talk more broadly about Smith's point. Do you agree that getting the most out of a young quarterback and developing a QB who doesn't have a lot of experience is easier, is more likely to happen successfully, is more efficient process if you've got an offensive-minded coach? Because if that's the case, then everyone should just have them. 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. You want to join us? Grant and Danny on The Fan.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's a completely different animal. And as much as you think you're prepared to handle that development of a young kid, like you're just not. Very, very different to think about what, like Pat, you know, here's Andy Reid had coached 700 quarterbacks and had success with all of them. I mean, these are guys that all had different strengths, and he's found a way to put them in good situations to utilize their strengths and make sure they're prepared. There is a big difference in that. And again, you talk about in the Texans, an entire regime change, a bunch of first-time coaches, not to say they won't do a good job, but it's just a completely different animal looking at it right now, you know, middle of the offseason, looking forward. There's a lot of unknowns there for CJ Stroud, a lot of moving pieces, you know, very different in how I look and project, obviously, again, going back to Carolina and Bryce Young.
That's Alex Smith. His point came up based on an analysis of the rookie QBs and where they landed. But what he's saying is, based on his experiences and his time around the league, I think this is such a no-brainer, and it's really smart. Young quarterbacks being developed in organizations led by defensive-minded head coaches have a tougher road to being really good than if their head coach is either a former quarterback or OC or someone in the QB room, like a Frank Reich, who is offensive-minded. Look at the Miami Dolphins as a great example of this. And I like Brian Flores a lot. I hope he's a head coach again at some point. I think he deserves to be, probably. He's the defensive coordinator now in Minnesota with the Vikings this year. But he was with Tua in Miami for a season. He leaves. They go get Mike McDaniel from the Shanahan tree. And everywhere McDaniel goes, Tua goes. And they're inseparable. And those two guys are calling each other at 4 in the morning and drawing up plays. And look at the growth and the development. It's not just because of the change, but it had a lot to do with that. I think this goes without saying, but I also think it's a really important conversation to have as it pertains to Sam Howell. Like, should there be a little trepidation about whether or not he can reach his ceiling in this current structure? Does it give you any pause about getting the most out of a pretty talented prospect? Let's go to Kevin in Arlington on Grant and Danny. What's up, Kev?
What's up, Kevin?
Hey, guys. Happy weekend. Yeah, Alex is spot on. I mean, think about it. And it's not just that Sam doesn't have an offensive-oriented head coach. He's got a head coach who's also the GM who hasn't been investing personnel-wise very much at all on his side of the ball. I mean, to me, the O-line and TE ignoring, because I consider JAG players taken in free agency and in the draft as ignoring pressing needs, which is what they did. That's not helping Sam. It didn't help any of the quarterbacks here when Ron came in and hired a neophyte and Scott Turner to be the offensive coordinator. He should have – I mean, what he did on the defensive side, hiring a former head coach and a great D coordinator in Jack Del Rio, should have been mirrored on the offensive side of the ball. So, like, every step of the way to me, guys, Ron has flubbed this in terms of quarterback development, quarterback decision-making, and offensive development. So, absolutely – you know, to me, he's dead man walking. He's a good dude. He's a good leader, man. I think Ron's ceiling is defensive head coach. I don't think he's proven to be an especially good head coach, let alone a coach-centric guy in charge of everything.
100% agree. Thank you, Kevin. This was my biggest problem with Jay Gruden, who I love talking to. He was great coming on with us as an offensive coach. You can't just have a Rube as your defensive coordinator. You see what I'm saying? Like, I understand you run the offense. I don't know whether he was threatened by having a guy with a higher profile as a defensive coordinator, but he gave DC jobs to guys that wouldn't have DC jobs otherwise. When Greg Minuski left, I think he was like a quality control coach at
Kentucky
or something like that. No. And Greg Minuski's a nice guy too, but this isn't about being nice. This is high achievement stuff. There's only 32 of these gigs in the world. So Ron Rivera, to Kevin's point, it's such a stark contrast. Guy with head coaching experience. Whatever you think about Jack Del Rio, that guy's had some success as a defensive coordinator, and he wasn't terrible as a head coach either, by the way. That's a pretty high-profile dude as your DC. The offensive coordinator would not have been an offensive coordinator for anybody else. No, especially in this league today, especially if you're dealing with young quarterbacks. Wrong. Now you finally have the right guy with the right profile, at least, in Bieniemy. Rubber will meet the road. We'll find out how good he is. I like him an awful lot. I feel fortunate that he's the offensive coordinator here. Probably should be a head coach somewhere else. But whatever, here we are. It's still not the best recipe, though.
The Bieniemy point is significant because if you agree with me that defensive-minded head coaches, the relationship with, the rapport with, the day-in, day-out, hands-on bond with the QB, it's just not the same, and it makes it harder for them to develop. And that's not even to talk about the philosophy. Most of these guys, your Mike Zimmer, Ron Rivera types, you know, Pete Carroll's the same way, although he's good at it. It's let's win 17-13 with these guys. You're automatically kind of lowering the ceiling, the expectations, what you're looking for, what you're trying to do as quarterback, right? But maybe you can win that way and develop the quarterback that way. Maybe you can still get the most if your OC is special. The problem is those guys, you're going to run through them one after another. See Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel in Tennessee was able to have Matt LaFleur. He then got a head coaching job. He goes and finds Arthur Smith. He gets a head coaching job. Now you're on to the next, right? And so I guess where I'm interested and curious is, does the hiring of Bieniemy fix this problem? If Alex Smith is saying indirectly, man, Sam Howell, this is tough. You know, the young, yep, unproven coordinator, in the last case, Scott Turner, with the defensive-minded coach, that's a one-stop shop to lower your ceiling. I wonder if now Bieniemy coming in here fixes that.
If Ron does what I'm afraid of, which is after they get off to a bad start, because they always do, and he goes, okay, that's it, we're now running the ball and we're playing low ceiling, then no. If he lets Bieniemy be Bieniemy throughout, then yes.
MGM National Harbor listener lines available for you at 800-636-1067. We will take our first look ahead at a new series starting at home for the Nationals this weekend, plus the slate in sports tonight. Remember, at 4 o'clock, we've got tickets to see Bert Kreischer. And coming up at 3:30, we're playing a little Does Grant Know the Band? You can win tickets so that you can go see the LIV Golf Tournament when it comes to the area right here on G&D.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.